Joining me in Stetson Studio One, returning for their third visit, I believe, to Vermont Public Radio, the Heath Quartet from Great Britain. The intrepid Heath Quartet made their way from Middlebury to our studios in Colchester in the snow this morning, and they will be playing music of Beethoven for us. They have the next installment of their Beethoven String Quartet cycle tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Middlebury College in the Mahaney Arts Center. This is the first event of the Ray and Patricia Harwick live performance series. Pat and Ray Harwick, great friends of VPR, and they love to attend our live musical events. The members of the Heath Quartet are violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholme, violist Gary Pomeroy, and cellist Christopher Murray. And I'd like to begin this morning's live music with the second movement, Andante Scherzoso, from Beethoven's Quartet in C minor, Opus 18, number 4. Thank you. Second movement of Beethoven's Fourth String Quartet, Opus 18, Number 4, in C minor, played for us live on VPR Classical this morning by the Heath Quartet from Great Britain. The Heath Quartet is violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholm, violist Gary Pomeroy, and cellist Christopher Murray, and they're performing the complete Beethoven quartets in six installments over three visits at Middlebury College. The next installment is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Mahaney Arts Center, and it will include Opus 18, Number 4, Opus 59, Number 3, which we'll hear some of later in this hour, and Opus 127, the Quartet Number 12 in E-flat, and we'll hear a bit of that in just a moment. Gathered around the microphones, the members of the Heath Quartet. You'll have to lean into the mic when you talk. We're sharing microphones here so we can get everybody on the microphones. First, thanks so much for being so intrepid in coming through the snow this morning to be here to play for people.
It's a pleasure. It was a beautiful drive.
As long as you don't have to go slipping and sliding, it is lovely to look at. Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, when I look over your resume and all the things you've done and where you're planning to be, it sounds like you must be on the road all the time. How often do you get to spend time at home?
Well, we are, you know, we're a traveling group of, you know, string quartets, a traveling troupe, a bit like a theatre company, I think. So we have to travel to do our job. So that's just part of it. But it's always a great pleasure traveling. To me, it's my favourite part of the job is seeing new places and meeting new people. And obviously, it's a drag to be away from home for a long period. But on the other hand, one of the perks of being a string quartet is you get to see a lot of places you otherwise wouldn't get to go to.
Well, you're repeat visitors to Middlebury. You've been there a number of times over the years, and you're doing the Beethoven quartets in three installments of two concerts each. And so you had one visit in October, was it?
That's right, yeah.
Where you started, and then you'll come back in May?
Yes, that's right.
For the final two concerts of the complete cycle. Well, now, Beethoven quartets are a part of any quartet's repertory, unless they don't do music before 1900 for some reason, as some quartets do. But how often have you done complete cycles? We've gone through the entire group of 16 quartets.
We've been around the block a few times now. We first did it way too early in our lives together. It was frantic, and we were learning several of them for the first time, and we did it in an incredibly short space of time in a beautiful town in Spain. So it was a baptism of fire, our first Beethoven cycle, and then we did one at the Edinburgh, as part of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and then we did one in Ireland. We've done a few, so we kind of, you know, we know what it entails. It doesn't make it any easier, but you do have a sense of what you're undertaking before you start.
Now, would anyone like to address a question of whether your thoughts about the quartets have changed over the years? And when you come back to them to play them all again, you come back, do they sound fresh in some way, or do they sound different to you in some way?
That's a tough question. I'm not sure how to answer that. But I think with experience, you do see things differently. I think you probably see the individuality of each piece more the more times you come back to it. And putting a piece away and for a few years and then coming back to it again, you do have a much better perspective. You're less aware of problems and difficulties you had the last time. You try to sort of just ignore those and come to it fresh. So I'm not sure what the answer is, but it definitely helps to do it again and again and to have lots of time. I mean, this music's so complicated, has so many different levels of meaning to it, that it takes really a whole career, a whole lifetime of playing it to kind of dig away at it.
Now, Beethoven's works are generally divided into an early period, a middle period, and a late period, and the quartets fall very nicely into those categories. And we're going to be hearing one from each category. We heard an early quartet. We're going to hop to a late quartet next. Now, the late quartets are a world unto themselves, almost. They are, as I see them as a listener, those are works where Beethoven was looking beyond the horizon that limits most of us. And he seemed to be hearing things from another world or the future. And these are remarkable pieces. I would love to hear from you what you think about what is unique about late Beethoven.
I think what's fun about how we're programming the concerts in Middlebury is that each concert has an early, a middle, and pretty much a late. So what's striking about every concert is that hasn't changed with doing the cycle a few times, is that how gargantuan and how visionary and how ambitious the late quartets are in scale, in how orchestral he's asking the quartet to sound. The playing demands on everyone individually and as a group.
Well, we're going to hear the first movement of Opus 127. That's the quartet number 12, as the musicians dash for their instruments. So I guess they won't have any introduction to this piece. What's the tempo marking on the first movement?
Maestoso Allegro.
Maestoso Allegro. And you'll hear maestoso majestically right in the opening chords. The Heath Quartet, performing live on VPR Classical. Once again, the members of the Heath Quartet are Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholme, violins, Gary Pomeroy playing viola, and Christopher Murray, cello, live on VPR Classical. The first movement of Beethoven's String Quartet No. 12 in E-flat, Opus 127, played live on VPR Classical this morning by the Heath Quartet. Violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholme, violist Gary Pomeroy, and cellist Christopher Murray. And Opus 127, as well as Opus 18 No. 4, of which we heard a movement earlier, will be on their program tomorrow night at 7:30. At the Mahaney Art Center at Middlebury College. The 1, 2, 3, 4th installment of the Beethoven quartets that they're performing, the complete cycle of, at Middlebury College. And you can get all the details at middlebury.edu/arts. And they join me again at the microphones. I'm Walter Parker. Thank you very much. That is such awesome music.
Yes.
And there are three subsequent movements to that quartet.
There's more, yeah.
I mean, it's those late quartets are just so amazing.
It's a good, that Opus 127 is a good kind of gate, it's like a kind of gateway into the late quartets, because it does have, it's got a traditional structure over the whole piece. It's quite, it's, you know, has the same structure as Opus 18, number 4, for example. It has, you know, the opening movement we just heard, and then an incredible slow movement that has a kind of variation form, and then a scherzo, and then a finale. So it has a traditional classical structure that you would expect from a Haydn or Mozart quartet.
Unlike some of the other late quartets, which
exactly,
are
yeah.
totally radical forms, completely original to the piece.
Yeah.
Like Opus 131, which you'll be performing when you come back in May.
Next time. No breaks.
Yeah, seven movements of varying lengths and characters without a break. Unbelievable, Opus 131. But that's for next time. This time, well, give us a brief history of the Heath Quartet. How long has this configuration been around?
Well,
who's the newest member?
I'm the newest member. These guys are very old friends. It's 18 years, I think, when the quartet first got together. I joined, I think, 3 years ago now.
So where did the three of you guys meet?
So all of us actually were studying in Manchester, UK, at the Royal Northern College of Music. And so we've been living parallel lives. So we've actually all known each other on and off for about maybe 21 years, because actually Sarah and Chris went to school together before music college.
We did.
It was an important part of our degree program to do chamber music, and we had some incredibly galvanizing influences in the forms of a few people, a few incredible teachers. And they, even though I don't think it was compulsory, they made it such that everyone wanted to play chamber music. Everyone wanted to be in a quartet. So we kind of rode that wave while we were studying there.
Well, I guess you have to want to be in a quartet, because I've heard it described as a marriage among four people.
Whoever said that is not lying.
Yes, exponentially more difficult than a conventional marriage. Well, the final piece we're going to hear today, and the third quartet on your program tomorrow night, is one of the middle period quartets, one of the three Razumovsky quartets, named for the Russian ambassador who commissioned them, Count Razumovsky, the three Opus 59 quartets. This is going to be number three in C major. And do you want to say something about this quartet, where it falls in the...
So this is Beethoven really at the height of his powers in sort of early 1800s, and he wrote these three fantastic and very powerful and lengthy quartets. So this is a couple of movements from the third one. And you hear the commission included that he would use a Russian melody in one of each of the pieces. So the movement we're going to play, you'll hear this Russian style. And then I think we're going to jump to the finale, which is an amazing sort of fugato kind of piece, which starts with an amazing viola solo and then carries on from there.
And is very exciting.
It is, hopefully.
Very exciting, yeah, and very brave, like giving it to the viola first. Who knows what's going to happen?
There's our first viola joke. He's taking it well. All right, so we hear the second and fourth movements of the string quartet number 9 in C major, opus 59, number 3 of Beethoven, played for us live by the Heath Quartet, and they are once again violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholm, violist Gary Pomeroy, putting up with the viola joke, and Christopher Murray playing cello, live on VPR Classical. the second and fourth movements of Beethoven's Quartet No. 9 in C major, Opus 59, No. 3, the third Razumovsky, played for us live on VPR Classical by the Heath Quartet, violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholm, violist Gary Pomeroy, and cellist Christopher Murray. And they will include the entire ninth quartet on their program tomorrow night at 7:30 at Middlebury College, the fourth installment of the complete Beethoven string quartets that they're performing at Middlebury College this season. And you can get all those details at middlebury.edu/arts. And they return, if they have any energy left after that finale, that is so breathtaking. Beethoven is such a master of generating musical momentum, and it's almost overwhelming in that movement. Does it ever feel like it's going to spin out of control?
Oh, yeah.
It has done, Walter. It has done, yeah.
So exciting. So exciting. Well, I wanted you back at the microphones just so you can give us a little idea of what other plans you have other than Beethoven quartets at Middlebury College in the coming months.
Well, what are we doing, guys?
Other than Beethoven. Middlebury's just it's just Beethoven back in May.
Right.
Yes, but we've done some wonderful community outreach with Suzuki Violin Class, and we've been teaching as well, and we've taken part in different cross-curricular classes within the college as well, which has been really interesting. There's been one with neuroscience and an ear training, and it's great to be involved in not just doing the concerts and yeah.
But where will you go after tomorrow's concert? You won't stay in Middlebury till May, I presume.
We're back off home on Saturday, and then we have some concerts in London, and we are going abroad again in March. We go to Adelaide, the Adelaide Festival.
In Australia?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope that's not too close to the fires.
Yes, us too. We're
keeping an eye on it. It doesn't seem to be too affected, the Adelaide area, but obviously it's a serious thing, so we'll keep an eye on it.
Well, good luck with all those future endeavors. The Heath Quartet, once again, the members of the Heath Quartet are violinists Oliver Heath and Sarah Wolstenholm, violist Gary Pomeroy, and cellist Christopher Murray. Thanks so much.
Thanks
for coming through the studio to perform today. Thanks to VPR's Leanne Kleiser-Link for her help with the Patricia and Ray Harwick live performance series, of which this was the inaugural event. Our sound engineer today was Peter Engish. Thank you. Thanks to Allison Coyne Carroll of Middlebury College and Liza Sakelli, also of Middlebury College, for their assistance in arranging this today. I'm Walter Parker. We'll go out with something from when the Heath Quartet was here in 2014, the first movement of Mendelssohn.